but we are in the middle of our series called Proverbs, and it's not really called Proverbs, it's just Proverbs. And the reality of this book is that it's too deep to uncover in 13 weeks. But the applications can be applied in your life, and they're applicable in every season. It really is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path, because it will illuminate those things in your life that are dark and that you're hiding in to help bring you out. And Proverbs is written to push you out of what you're hiding in and into truth, but also to get you free from the lies that you might be believing and to stop getting ensnared by things that don't really matter. And so when you look at the book of Proverbs, go ahead and put that scripture up for me. In chapter 4, it says, getting wisdom is the wisest thing you can do, and whatever else you do, develop good judgment. If you prize wisdom, she will make you great. Embrace her, and she will honor you. In verse 9, she will place a lovely wreath on your head. She will present you with a beautiful crown. The first thing I want to ask you is this, is what are you wearing? What are you wearing? Because when we come into Christianity, we exchange our life for Christ's life, and we're new creatures in Christ. Old things are passed away. All things have become new and are becoming new. It's a process. But you are bringing with it trauma and things from your past that have to be dealt with. And when people walk into a relationship with Jesus, oftentimes they don't realize the exchange that is taking place and the exchange that continues to take place. Because the Lord, every so often, will ask you for that thing that you're either holding on to or that you're hiding in and say, give it to me. And I know in a room with this many people, there are people still living in shame. There are still people holding on to doubt and still holding on to former self because they have not allowed God to get in and clean that area of their life up. It's a reason why so many of your churches are filled with consumer Christians. People who just want to hear a good message but don't really change is because they don't want to do the work or allow God to do the work to change them. And so seeker-sensitive churches, although they might be great because it's great to have a mass and amount of people, when it really comes down to it, Jesus' question to you is, will you follow me? And that means into the unknown, into the places that I want to look into your life that you're hiding. Because some of us are wearing things that are too heavy for us. You can't wear the, quote, condemnation of your past or the trauma of your past too long without it eventually affecting you. Because the more you try to move on with Jesus, the harder it gets. Because if we're going to go to places with Jesus that require us to be flexible and to have some elasticity in the way we think, that means that the way we think has to be dealt with. And not only the way we think has to be dealt with, but how we behave has to be dealt with, because how we think and how we behave are linked. And so if I can't deal with the action behind the way I think, I'll never really be free, because I'll always be wondering, what if Jesus asked me to do something and I'm not ready to give it over to him? And the reality of it is that he's going to. If you've walked any length of time with Jesus, you know that he wants the thing that you're comfortable with. Because people love to hide in shame because it's comfortable. They love to wear it because they nest in it. And you know what nesting is. And nesting a lot of times happens when a mother's about to give birth or she's about to start a family. They start to nest. Or sometimes we're in cold weather, and when the weather changes, especially if you're in a cold weather state, not here. But if you go into another state, you'll see people, oh, I can't wait till I get my sweatshirt on. I just start to nestle in it. And what happens is there's a settling that takes place, but that's dangerous for a Christian. When you settle in things that you're not supposed to settle in, and you get comfortable with things that God is trying to get you out of. And it's easy to settle because it doesn't require work. It's easy to stay in dysfunction and not get out. Because you become so comfortable with what you think is normal that you realize that this is my life. It'll always be this way until you see the opposite of that and someone points out that it doesn't have to be this way. That's not normal behavior. You're supposed to get up out of bed and get out the house. A few months ago, Misty, I was having this conversation with Misty, and we were talking about just people in community and the different perspectives they have. And I was getting my beard trimmed because, you know, I don't get a haircut. I don't need it to cut my own hair. So, and I was in the barber chair, and, you know, you can hear things at the barbershop. It's for real, by the way. And so you're in the chair and they're having a conversation about life, and they're having this conversation, and someone brings up, oh man, one of the best things I love to do is just stay in bed all day. And immediately my insides started to turn. Oh man, sometimes I don't even get out of bed. I just love it. The Lord spoke to me and says, see the way the world thinks? Laziness and what it leads to. And some of you might think, what does it have to do with spirituality? It's everything to do with how you live your life and perspective. When you're called to produce and be about God's business, you don't have time to stay in seasons of depression, seasons of laziness, seasons of grief. See, a day, maybe, not even, sometimes. Like, you're having a rough day. I'm going to give kudos to Kitty publicly for moving on and taking steps to move on and not allowing grief to rob her of her life, because she has a hope that does not disappoint. The difference between Kitty and the world is who's inside of Kitty. Who's inside of Kitty? Who's inside of you? What are you wearing? And so when you live the way God's called you to live, your perspective changes. And so you can point out lie from truth and you can see counterfeit and understand that's not the way God thinks. That's the way the world thinks. And the second question I have for you is, who's your daddy? Because when you think about Jesus and understand that he is your father, how you live your life totally changes, because you're about wisdom. You're about the Father's business. You get wisdom oftentimes not only by sitting with the Holy Spirit, but by doing. There are different types of learners here. Some people are kinesthetic learners. Some people are auditory learners. And some people, they just like to do. And there are different types. And I'm not going to get into psychological things. You can ask my sister-in-law. She'll probably give you all that stuff about what that means. But there are different types of learning. You have the master teacher living inside of you. Master. Let's look at the book of John, chapter 16. It says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. The Spirit of God doesn't just tell you about stuff that's going on in your life, but it'll give you a glimpse into what's coming up next. Not to trip you up, but just to get you ready. Because there are seasons of preparation, and God will give you just a glimpse about what he's doing before he takes you where you need to go. But the only way that happens is that if you develop a relationship with the Holy Spirit and understand that he hears from Jesus and Jesus hears from the Father. And that you have a dynamic relationship and an opportunity to be in a relationship with him so that you can see things and avoid traps that you don't need to walk in your life. That's why when the Holy Spirit pings your conscience and you get pricked, it's for a reason. That's why when something inside of you jumps or the Holy Spirit convicts you about something, it's for a reason. It's for your good. He is not trying to take you out. It's for your good so you can see. Hey, don't fall into that trap. Don't pursue a relationship there. Don't open your heart up to there. Don't look at that, because if you do, it's going to take you down a road of deception, and I don't want you to be there. You got a friend in Jesus. You have one. If nothing else, you got a best friend. Even more so than the closest relationship that you have in your life is Jesus. And when that's out of place, even a little bit, you can feel it. The Holy Spirit's faithful, and he'll even begin to speak to your kids about stuff. I was talking to Mia yesterday, and she said, and Dad, I can't. And all of a sudden, God spoke to me about not saying no to you and Mom real quick. And I was like, yep. And she goes, it was weird, but it was like, I knew it was God. He's faithful. Because when God speaks, it should be. Instead of, oh yeah, I got it. And blowing him off or ghosting him. Because a lot of people ghost him in even in the way they think. The Lord speaks to you about stuff. You're like, yeah, I got you, but not really. We don't respond. And you know, God every once in a while will come back and remind you about the thing he told you to do 5 years ago. Hey, by the way, that's still there. But we ghost him, thinking that he didn't really mean what he said. But he's faithful. He's faithful to deal with your kids even when you're not faithful to deal with your kids. Because he is with your kids even when you're not with your kids. And the one thing I love about my relationship with Amiya is the fact that wherever she goes, she was gone for a week and she comes back, we pick up right where we left off. There's no separation that's there. There's no abandonment issues that's there. I'm getting somewhere with this because of the investment that's been there. She's always been my kid. But I fear in the body of Christ, there's a lot of abandonment issues that come in our relationship with Jesus because we're not real consistent and we wonder where God goes. And the reality of it is God doesn't go anywhere. We drift. He stays. And the Spirit of God is the thing that brings us back into center. But he wants to close that gap so that you can walk in step with him. He knows your bad day. He knows your thought even before you think it. He understands what you're watching and what you're seeing. He understands your thought process. But God is a master at interrupting process. Before we started this church, God interrupted my process and said, it's time to go to work on the boy inside of you that needs to be healed. I appreciate you. I love you. But we got some work to do. And when Jesus starts to go to work, it requires your attention. But the body of Christ as a whole isn't walking in step with the Lord like they should, because churches and those that have been involved in churches, big or small, have become entertainment driven and not Holy Spirit driven. And it's tough to build a foundation on entertainment. Because when the winds come and the waves come, what are you standing on? The song you sang last Sunday? The one thing that we're going somewhere. I like this. We're going a little deeper today, okay? The one thing that you notice about Jesus also is that Jesus will start to take all that stuff you lean on away. Because you're professing Jesus, and we call Jesus our Father, and we even pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. But when the Lord comes in to test that theory, how do you do? Because his other kids might be doing something, and that's okay for them, but it may not be okay for you. Especially as you start to get promoted and God brings you in deeper levels, there are things that God will not allow you to do anymore because that was the old part of you. This is the new part of you. I need more time with Jesus. And so the body of Christ is in need of a relationship with the Holy Spirit and understanding that as our God and as our truth, that he's going to guide us into all truth. And that means us being able to see things that other people don't see. One of the things that you can see in the body of Christ a lot of times is walking in deception, because they have this idea about Jesus that Jesus all of a sudden is going to give me everything that I want because I asked. What good father gives you everything you want because you ask? He gives you what you need when you need it. But it's when you need it. And even when you're praying about something, you may not need it. You may want it, but you may not need it. And God is so good that he'll make you wait for it and give it to you in another season, because you don't need it. But isn't the grace of God sufficient for this season? It should be, right? Because he's our father, he's our daddy, and if he knows best, then he's going to give us what we need to sustain where we're at now so that we can walk with him now, not later. Why? Because we have a tendency to want to go into the next season prematurely and pull that grace out and use it. But you're not ready for that grace yet. That's tomorrow's grace. There are things that God, if God would have shown me some of the things I was going to walk through in this season 5 years ago, I would have peaced out, deuced it, and said, I'm done. If there were things that God did not come through for me on, I would have said no. I'm being honest. I would have said, you could take Christianity, you could put it in that box. I want something else. Because God doesn't show you all that you're going to walk through, because it would derail your faith for today Because God is building you for today, because the big one's coming that you're going to have to say yes to Jesus. But when you're saying yes to Jesus in the small stuff, it gives you the faith and the strength you need to get built up. So when the big one comes, it doesn't take you out. But we want the big one. We want the big one. I want Jesus. I want all that he has. But we're having a hard time here when the enemy blows on us just about the little stuff and we can't stand. But you want the big one. You want to stand before thousands. You want to preach Jesus. And the Lord's like, let's learn how to battle here first. That's where we need to be. Let's not go up here. Why? Because I don't need another believer falling into fill in the blank. Let's do it big, Jesus. Let's do it small. Let's do it down here first, because we can sing songs, we can praise Jesus, we can do all that, but inside our heart's not right. And you know when hearts aren't right, you can see it. I'm going to take Leslie any day over a polished worship singer. You know why? Heart's right. Because I've seen the opposite, and you can tell. Sit down, you're up. He's looking for heart and habits. Do I have the habitual pattern in my life? So that God could use me when it really counts, because I've been working on it. I've been working on my relationship with the Holy Spirit, Deanna, so that when I come up against something that's not right, I can speak in boldness and not cower back in fear, because I'm working on stuff. So when I stand before hundreds or I stand before thousands of people, I don't cower back in fear because of the masses, because in private, I learn to kill my flesh. I learn to walk in faith. I allow the Lord to deal with stuff in me so I can still declare God's goodness. Whether there's 5 or 5,000, God's still good. It has nothing to do with that, but it has everything to do with who do I fear? Who's my daddy? If you know your daddy, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I know Mia knows that if she got into trouble, the first person to call is going to be who? Dad. Dad's coming. Missy will be on my leg, but we're coming. Who do you call first? And that's another concern in the body. I got to text so-and-so. You pray for me? And not realizing, Holy Spirit, right here. Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you. I need to give me wisdom on this. How do I operate in this? How do I look at this? How should I look at it? He's got it. Tap into it. Your friend doesn't know. You might think they know. Oh, no, they've been through it. They don't know it like you know it. Or you're trying to know it. Holy Spirit, how do I look at this? Oh, that's how I look at it. And he'll give you a little step out. Just look at it real quick. Mm-hmm. He's your daddy. Because he'll show you truth and you won't get tripped up in it. Because what people do sometimes is they get tripped up with the advice from their friends and they get wisdom and they miss out on the Holy Spirit writer. How many of y'all, don't raise your hand, later on you realize, I probably should pray, ask the Lord about that one first. But we don't do it. I got to know and understand the value that I have. 1 John chapter 2. But you have received the Holy Spirit and he lives within you. So you don't need who? Anyone to teach you what is true. For the Spirit teaches you everything you need to know. And what he teaches us is true. It is not a lie. So just as he has taught you, remain in fellowship with Christ. Just as he has taught you, number 3, stay home. Remain in fellowship. That's what he's saying. Hey, listen, best thing you can do, stay in relationship. Don't jump out, because this is your lifeline. This is where you're going to find what you need. This is where you're going to bear fruit. This is how you're going to get built up. This is how you're going to get the strength you need to fight against the enemies that are coming against you. This is how you're going to see truth and be able to decipher what I want you to do. Stay in fellowship with Christ. Don't jump out. I don't care if a pandemic comes in. Don't jump out. Persecution comes in, don't jump out. Because there's a tendency that when tough times comes, what we do is we take our place off the solid rock and we put it on what we think
is going to sustain us because it's too hard. I'm going to grab on the one thing that's going to bring comfort to me, the one thing that I think is going to help save me. And the reality, all it does is that it causes you to slide out of that solid place because it's too hard. There is no other place you're going to find the comfort, the strength, the courage that you need besides staying at home with Jesus. It's not going to be through your friends. It's not going to be through compromise. It's not going to be through transition. It's not going to be how you see what you think you see through your own eyes. It's going to be by staying home with Jesus. Stay home. Don't jump out. Don't. Because you end up getting on a road that leads to compromise, and it weakens your faith, and then all of a sudden, you're not really walking with Jesus anymore. You're talking about him, but you're not really walking with him. What you're doing now is now you're walking according to the pattern of the world, because that's easier. Easier. Stay home. I know many of you in here love sports. You know, I'm a big football fan. A lot of you are. One of the things they tell you, if you're on defense, hey, listen, this is one of the things you need to do. If you see a running back going this way, do not follow him. If you're on the other side, stay at home. This is your responsibility to stay here. Why? Because inevitably, someone's coming up on the backside that you're not going to see. You can be going back for a pass somewhere else. It's going to get right behind you. Stay at home. It doesn't matter what's happening in the backfield. It doesn't matter what interference is running in front of you. It doesn't matter who's passing. It doesn't matter who's trying to clip you. Stay at home. Maintain your balance and maintain your responsibility. Why are you still here today when other churches have shut down and people flipped out because of COVID? Because you stayed at home. You kept your eyes on Jesus. Through COVID, through hospital trips, through disease, you stayed home, and he's faithful, and he was faithful to get you through, and you're stronger now because of what you went through, because you stayed at home. Look around in other churches, a lot of people not home anymore. They're literally at home trying to get what they need through a television system. Church is not the same like it was 3 or 4 years ago. It's done. Why aren't churches filled? Because people have taken the easy route and decided that now church is going to become about convenience. And if I can get, listen, if I can get 25 minutes of the word, skip worship. If I can get 25 minutes of the word, I'm good the rest of the week. And reality, all you're doing is just you're missing out on the rich fellowship that takes place being in community with other people, all based upon convenience. And little by little, the enemy's got you sliding back this way. And all of a sudden, now Jimmy's transitioning. You think it's not real. Oh, so-and-so just left the faith. Sliding. Because they didn't have a strong root system and foundation. And when hard times came, we realized that, oh, they weren't really standing on the rock. They were standing on their talent. Oh, because they were good at what they did, they got access. But when truth came out, is that they weren't really following Jesus. Because when that's all taken away, are you still at home? Listen, my talent can go, my position can go, but can I still stay at home? Where are you at? Are you halfway out the door? In your faith? I mean, you're at that point where, okay, I got Jesus is here. But one more thing happens. I'm telling you what, that door, I'm out that door. I'm out the door. One more thing happens at church, I'm done with Christianity. One more thing. One more attack comes into my life, I'm giving Jesus the, and I'm out. One more. And the enemy knows it. And all he's doing is working it. You know what's going to happen, don't you? He's not going to come through. You might as well just pack your bags, quit, go out the door. Especially in your marriage. You know it's not going to change. Why would you even believe it's going to change? It's been this way for so long. You might as well just answer the text that you got. And might as well just look up the person that I've been showing you. Because I'm telling you what, they don't appreciate you. But, you know, there's someone out there who does. And little by little, you know what? If you're not home, you're right. You're right. Sliding. You know, they never really loved you anyway. And this process takes place. And if you're not home and not on foundation, what we do is we start to linger and think, you're right, it's not worth it. Because you can't not be on the foundation and stay strong in the midst of the temptation because it's coming. I know there are people in here right now. I know people because I know the enemy and I know the Lord's faithful. They got their bags packed in their mind already. They're already out the door. One more thing happens, I'm done and I'm out. And the enemy's got you and the carrot is so big, you can't miss it. But I'm here to tell you that if you get back home on the foundation, that'll go. Because you're submitted. And when you're submitted, you can resist. And when you resist, it can go. But if you're not on the foundation and you're trying to resist, you start dancing around with it, thinking that it's good. And all of a sudden, you're like, it's not so bad. And you take a bite of it. And now we're talking about so-and-so left so-and-so because of adultery. They had a porn addiction. They had this. And all the while, it wasn't that Jesus wasn't faithful. He was pulling you. Stay on the rock. Stay on me. Stay home. Stay home. Jesus is the coach in the dugout. Holy Spirit's like, stay home. Don't go. Don't go. Don't be enticed by words. Don't fall into temptation. You don't have to. Stay home. Get around a community. No, but it's easier. That's why isolation is a killer. It's a known fact what isolation does psychologically to people. Kids are still having a hard time recovering from the past 3 years, and they may never. And the church in itself is like a wet blanket was thrown on it. And a few people are coming out of it. I'm still here. Doing the thing. Destiny Community doing the thing. Still here. Still here. Where are you at? It's just too hard. Since when has it ever been easy? I've never, if I look back at my Christian walk, I can never look back at a season and say, man, that was one of the easiest seasons I have ever been through in my life. Lord, thank you for that one, because that was really easy. I've never said that to myself whatsoever. Man, you're good. If nothing else, it was the opposite. I look back and if we had time to write some book, like a lot of books, that you look back and I say, I can't believe if I had time to really sit at it, I went through that. I thought about that. I almost killed myself there. All the stuff that I went through, I'm like, man, you've been faithful. You've been faithful. You've been faithful. You've been faithful. Why? Built me up. Was building me. Why? In secret. You got this one. You got this one. Getting up under it. Man, your legs look good. Man, you look good. Strengthen yourself now. Because when the big one came and when COVID came to try to take you out in the hospital, guess what? Now on the rock. I'm on the rock. Why? Got stuff to do. Big one. Every season. Thank you. You all just thank Jesus this week. Thank you for every hardship. Thank you for every trial. Thank you for every abandonment issue that tried to come in. Every enemy that tried to come take me out. Thank you for helping me stand up and come against it. Thank you for making me a fighter. Thank you for helping me say yes. Thank you for allowing me just to stay in the trenches and do it anyway, crying and cut up. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. Thank you for your spirit that allowed me to stay home. Thank you for building in me the strength so I could hold it and I could take the tension. Thank you for showing me the reality of life. That it's not some fly-by-night thing that takes place and that we're called to be tough Christians, not soft. Thank you for allowing me to see truth and not lie and throwing punches and getting back up and throwing it again and getting back up. Thank you, Lord, for giving me the strength to say yes when I wanted to say no. I just thank you for building me. Why? Because you're faithful. Thank you, God, that you're my Father. Thank you for not giving up on me. Thank you for your strength. Thank you for coming in when I didn't know what to do. All that stuff you should thank Jesus for. Why? Because you're a miracle. You are a miracle that you here now. Why? Because you stayed home. I can't trade what I went through, but I can embrace the fact that I went through it and know that God was faithful to see me through because of the Spirit of God that's inside of me. Same thing for you. You forget sometimes what you've been through. It's a reminder every once in a while of the fact that you're still here. It's a testimony to the enemy and to those around you that God's with him. I woke up this morning, and you know, sometimes you have those. I woke up this morning, I know you're with me today. It was just something inside. I know you're with me. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what happened, who's coming, who's, I know you're with me. I know what you've been through. And you just go through that process where God delivers you out of stuff and you start to see stuff. Thank you, Lord. You just wake up praising. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. I don't care what they said or what they tried to do. It's going to be a good day. Why? Because I know you're with me. There's no enemy that can come in that can take me out. Why? Because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I am an issue for him. How do you see yourself? If you see yourself as a king's kid, your perspective should change. My brother-in-law said, I'm still laughing about what my brother-in-law said yesterday. We were just talking about different things, and he said something in passing, Sean, and I started laughing about it. He said, sucking sucks. It sucks to suck. And I said to myself, you're right. If you get nothing out of today, that's what you take from here. It sucks to suck. That is coming from Sean, Proverbs 18:4b. Okay? It sucks to suck. And I think taking that and looking at your life, God doesn't want you to suck. Why do you think he takes you through the hardship to building you the necessary tools you need to hold and to fight? Why do you think he allows you to suffer? Because there's enjoyment for him? Because he knows that there's strength that's built in suffering that doesn't come anywhere else. It didn't come in my easy season. It came in when he said, hold the suffering, hold the rejection for a little while. Hold it. Okay. Just hold it. I want you to know how it feels because I want you to get used to it. So that eventually it doesn't bother you anymore. There are things that God is trying to do in your life right now you don't like. He's trying to help you get out of the places that you hide in because they're comfortable. But you're sucking. Suck. I look at you and Lord's looking at you like, man, you got, come on, man. I'm calling you out to play. This is life. But every time you hide behind something that's counterfeit, that you think is real, you forfeit the opportunity to grow and develop strength. Why don't you allow me to deal with your rejection so that you can be free and stop hiding behind stuff that I've not called you to hide behind? Wouldn't it be great, Malia, if you just walked in freedom, not worrying about rejection? I can never do that, Pastor. It's too difficult. I know, it's painful. But I promise if you allow God to go deep, he'll take it out. Oh, no, we don't go deep. No, oh, no, woo. I'm not a pain person. Not a pain one. Not going to do that. All right. Stay the same. Miss out on the goodness of God and the freedom that God wants to bring into your life. Just stay the same. When everyone else, though, hold on. When everyone else is getting free and doing their thing and living their best life, don't be upset. Don't be upset when they call you out on your stuff because now they're free and they're not worried about what you're going to say. Oh, don't worry. Don't be upset now. Don't be upset because we got cut and now we're free and we're now speaking truth and you don't like it. That's on you. That's not on me. And you know what? It doesn't matter anymore. But it's tough. It's tough, right? We don't want to do that. I like a lot of people around me. I got to have a lot of people all times. All times. I'm such an extrovert. I got to have all times. But God can't get to you. He wants to speak to you about stuff, but you got it so guarded by people because that's what people do. I got to just get me around people. Because what it does is it helps mask the anxiety. And God's trying to push people out so we can get to you. Push people out. Why? You got something that's dying inside of you. God's trying to get to you. And the only way that gets out is that you stay home. I mean, we're in a crisis part of Christianity right now in the body. We are. The more free you get, the more that you see who other people are not. And it's a problem. It's a problem. Because the effectiveness of the gospel isn't as powerful as it should be. Because people are laying, they're laying under stuff that they can't get out of. One of the things the Lord spoke to me a while back, I said, listen, I'm doing things quicker now, quicker. I need you on the table quicker. I need you giving me access quicker. I got to do it. I need you to get through it and get out. There are too many things the enemy's trying to do to keep you stuck. I need you on a table. I know it sucks, literally, but I need you out, healed and out. Listen, get up in front of it. You don't like it. I'm going to deliver to you. Get out. I don't have time. I need you to do it. So that means when God's pushing you to do stuff, do it. Because as you're doing it like this, God's freeing you. Do it. I know you don't want to tell your kids no, but do it. I know you don't want to stand up to your wife because you feel like she's bullying you. I know you don't want to stand up to your wife because you're afraid. I know you don't want to say anything to that person because you're afraid of what they're going to say. But guess what? I need you to do it. I need you to set a boundary and say, no, I'm not doing that no more. Guess what? I love you, but I love the Lord more. Yeah. Bye. Next. We'll still stay together, but next. We got to get there. Why? Too many people. They're carrying people on their back all over the place. Man, why can't you stand up straight? I don't know. I got 180 pounds of my mom. Oh. I got 110 of my wife. I got my kids, 80 plus 60, and we're all walking around like this. Why? Family origin stuff. Just walking around like this. Why? Can't say no. But if I'm home, guess what? Jesus says, too heavy. Start dropping them. I got them. You want to stop sucking, Rich? Allow me to do the work in people's life. Because all it's doing for you, it's you're giving parts of yourself that you don't have to give. You're not God. I am. Stop. And when we stop idolizing people and putting people in positions of where they become God, God says, then we can get somewhere. When I'm lifted up, I'll draw all men to me. You won't get tripped up by it. It's one of the hardest parts to get back to home. Because a lot of people have been taken away by family issues, distracted by stuff, just stuff coming out of nowhere. This is a story of redemption. Being bought back. God doesn't want to put you back into bondage just for the sake of the relationships you're involved in. That's not God's heart or God's plan. It works because we allow the Lord to work it. I love her more now than ever because of the work that God has done in her life and in my life and the fact that she's still here. Because we stayed home and allowed God to build something beautiful in the mess. But we're better now than we've ever been. Getting better. Why? Stay home. Allow the Lord to do the work in her and vice versa. I don't go in and I'm going to fix you. I'm going to fix that about you. I'm going to fix this about you. I can't fix that. A counselor can't fix it. They can direct you into the point of where you got stuck. And a good one says, now, let's work to get out of it. I don't want to see you for the next 5 years in my office. The Holy Spirit lives inside of you. Go to Him. Oh, come on now. Let's be real about it. Holy Spirit fixes. People don't fix. You don't need anyone to teach you. And this is tough for people to, what do you mean? Do I not listen? No one's saying don't listen. What's the Holy Spirit telling you through them? When the Holy Spirit speaks through them, what does your spirit say? If your spirit bucks up against it and say, now that's me, it's not for you. Reject it and move on. But what's he saying? There are things that the Holy Spirit has spoken through my wife. It's what I needed at the time that I needed it. She has not become the Holy Spirit though. And if I wasn't home and I didn't have a center and my foundation wasn't right, I would have kept running after her. Hey, what do you say now? What do you say now? And people do this. What do you say? And we wait. What do you say? I don't know, just waiting on. Just gotta speak to my wife first. You know, the other day, I'm telling myself today. The other day, I was sitting on, just doing stuff. You know, you just get in those places, you're doing stuff, taking a rest, and the Lord's like, what you doing? Don't wait on anybody else. Get back up and do what I called you to do. Because we get into a place, it wasn't doing anything bad. It wasn't anything bad. Just taking a little break, but my thought process might have been going where it needed to go a little bit. I'm thinking, all right, that's good. And got to a point of where it might have been a little passive at the point. Nothing bad. But it's like, hey, bud, get back up, do what I called you to do. I know you. When you know your daddy, you know his voice. I got you. I know. I see you. And I got back, and guess what? Life came back. Just back in focus. Wasn't abandoned, but just, it was just a checkpoint. Checkpoint. What's the checkpoint? God's never left you, never forsaken you. You don't have to worry about that. But some people do. Yeah, he has. He's never. Never. You think he has at times because of how you felt. Your feeling has nothing to do with the reality of, I will never leave you or forsake you. You have to work through what it was that got you to that feeling. And so as you work through it, you'll see all along that home is where the heart is. It's where it should be. Some of y'all, God's in the process of delivering you. But this process of deliverance is not going to happen overnight. It's going to take place in this timing. Because there's also a danger in being delivered too fast. And God said, I'm going to take my time to make sure you learn the lesson in this process so that you never go back to what you were in bondage in. And if you learn a lesson, you'll start to fly with me. Because what you tasted before will be a foul taste in your mouth as you move forward in me. And you'll have no desire for the things that were. Because what I'm bringing into your life is going to far outweigh the bitter waters that you have tasted. And God said, I'm not ready to do a new thing in your life that's going to far go beyond of what you can even ask or think. And if you allow me to do the work and continue to push you deeper in me, I will take you into places and free you from those things that even you can't see to bring you into the promised land that I've called you to walk in, says God. And I'm going to do this quickly. It's not going to take years for me to do this. Even when I say it's going to take time, your time is different from my time, but it's not going to take years. And I'm going to bring you into the fullness of what I have. And when I bring you into the fullness of what I have, people will know and that you will give me the praise and glory because of who I am.